This morning we are looking at discovering the lesson of the widow's mite as we continue with a home improvement series. And we are in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And Jesus is outside the temple area with the disciples, and this takes place. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly, I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at the widow's mite this morning, and I heard this story about this grandmother who was elderly, and every morning what she'd do to start out the morning was to go out on her porch, she'd lift up her hands and say, "Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day." Well, she had a neighbor who didn't believe in God who was out on his porch every day, and every day he yelled over at her and said, "Don't you know there's no God, there's no use in praying?" Well, one day she comes out on her porch, and not only did she thank the Lord for that day, but she also prayed for groceries. Well, the neighbor thought, "I'll fix her," and so he went out and he bought a bag of groceries, he put it on her steps, and then he rang the doorbell and jumped in the bushes so she couldn't see him, and so the woman comes out and she sees the groceries and she said, "Thank you, Lord, for the groceries." And the man jumped out of the bushes and said, "God didn't put those groceries there, I did." And the woman lifted her hand and said, "Lord, thank you not only for the groceries, but you also made the devil pay for them." Well, you know, there's a lot of good wisdom from elderly folks. And this morning we see that too in this lesson of the widow's mite. And it's a great story that has always inspired me. And so Jesus is outside the temple. He's there with his disciples. And as often the case in the temple, they have these almost parades where people would come and give from their wealth and bounty. And that's fine. But the disciples were impressed by that. But Jesus takes a moment and he points out this elderly widow. And she puts in two mites, two small copper coins. And Jesus said, she's given more than all the others because they've given out of their bounty and blessing, and she has given everything that she had. And it's an amazing story because, you know, if you think about it, the mite, which she put in there, M-I-T-E, is worth, we think, maybe as much as a penny or even less than a penny. But if you think about mite, it also means might, right? M-I-G-H-T, or strength. And Jesus points out this woman, I think, because she can inspire all of us. Now notice what Jesus didn't say as well as what he said. Jesus didn't say, "Give the money back to her." Rather, Jesus said, "Let what she did speak to you." In other words, as this truth rings down through the ages, there are some really great truths that we can all learn from this widow this morning who gave her 2 cents, her two mites. And the first thing I think is that it speaks to us and inspires us to give more. Now think about it for a moment. This woman, her story's been told through the ages. She's inspired probably the disciples, and they had to be inspired in their own lives to give some more of their time and treasure and talent. I also am reminded that Jesus is on his journey to the cross, and maybe in this moment, Jesus was inspired himself by this widow, giving what she had to give. Jesus would give all that he had on the cross so that we know God's love and forgiveness and grace, and so maybe in this moment, Jesus was inspired as well. I wonder in your own life if you've had a moment maybe where someone who didn't have quite so much to give inspired you by the way that they gave. I'm reminded in my own life of a story that took place, true story, and I took a group of students from Purdue down to New Orleans over spring break, and we were painting some houses, and our home was this woman, Anna Rose, who lived on this rather poor street, and we went to her home, and almost all the paint was off the house. And a number of the wooden slats were off as well, and their roof was leaking as well. And so we got to meet Anna Rose, and she had a beautiful smile that just lit up the room. And we walked into the house, and the inside of the home was immaculate. It was beautiful. It was incredibly well kept. But we come to find out that because of her health and because she didn't have the resources, she wasn't able to fix it up herself. Her brother lived with her, and he was in a wheelchair, and so he wasn't able to fix it up either. And so the outside of the home had really fell into incredible disrepair. So we began to work on her home, began to scrape it, and we began to repair the slats on there, began to repair the roof, and she came out and said that she was going to fix us lunch. And I said, well, you know, we brought sandwiches with us. And she said, well, that will never do. She said, I'm going to fix you something to eat. And so she went inside and she fixed red beans and rice is the way that only folks from New Orleans can fix red beans and rice. And so she treated us to this incredible, incredible lunch. And then later in the afternoon, she brought out pralines. Now, I don't know here in Indiana if you know what pralines are. I know we know what pecans are, but if you've ever had southern pralines, they take pecans and brown sugar and loads of butter and cook them all together and I don't know what else. And I mean, she came out with these pralines and it was just heavenly. It was just, I know they must have them in heaven. So anyway, I'd never had anything like that in my life. And so we had these pralines. We just enjoyed them. And then she came out and said, listen, since you're here working on my home, I want to bless you, and every day I want to fix you lunch, and on your last day I want to fix you dinner. And I said, listen, we have over 20 college students here. You have no idea. They can eat you out of house and home. I want to give you some money to do that. She said, absolutely not. She said, you've come here to fix my home. You're going to bless me, and I insist you give me a chance to bless you. And that's exactly what she did. And it was incredible. Each day she would fix an incredible lunch, and on the Friday before we left, she fixed an incredible fried chicken lunch that was to die for. It was just amazing. And of course, more pralines, all kinds of things, and it was just a delight. But she blessed us, and I think many of us, many of the college students hadn't done that before. You know, they thought about giving up their spring break. They thought about how they were giving up each day while other students were enjoying the beach or what have you. But when we left, we were so inspired by this woman's giving that we felt that she had given us far more than we had given her. I think we were all inspired to give a little bit more. And maybe you've had a moment in your life where someone has blessed you in such a way, perhaps someone without as many resources, and you've been inspired to give more. And that was the way this widow was, and that's the way our life can be too. Well, I think we're also going to be inspired to receive more. We probably felt, we did feel like we had received much more than this woman gave us in New Orleans, Anna Rose. And Jesus reminds us that the blessing is a two-way street. Giving is a two-way street. Maybe you recall in Matthew 25 where Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. And the folks said, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or sick or in prison? And Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it as unto me. And so I think that we're reminded that when we give to others who are in need, that we receive a special blessing. Among the blessings certainly is God's presence and God's blessing in a greater way. When I was in Connecticut for a time, I helped build a home, a habitat home for a woman by the name of Rachel. And she was from overseas. She hadn't been in the country all that long. She was working hard, but didn't have enough resources to buy a home. She had a young daughter, and so she was just a delight. And I remember the day that we had the house blessing, like we're going to have next Sunday, for Faith and her family. And her face was absolutely radiant that she would have a home of her own. She could raise her daughter in a safe neighborhood. And they were just, their faces were just beaming. And I think everyone that worked on that home felt like we had been blessed so much more than her. And we're still friends on Facebook, even though I'm back in Indiana. And I've watched her daughter grow over the years. And each year she went through junior high and high school and on. And I've been blessed over and over again as I think of the impact of her growing up in a safe home and the blessings that we were able to receive from that. In that same area, there was a man. And he had substantial resources, and in fact, he told me his story one day. He was a multimillionaire by the age of 40. He said, I was very successful in building. He hit it just the right time in Connecticut, and he said, I was going to retire in my 40s, and I did, and the last thing I did was build a nice subdivision in Florida, and I built a home for me and my wife and just a beautiful section of that subdivision with a nice pool and everything, and retired and settled there, and he said, I had a wonderful day. I went golfing, and then I grilled outside for my wife and I, and then I settled in for a drink. It was evening. I was sitting there looking at the night sky, and he said, all of a sudden I turned to my wife, and I said, I forgot something. She said, what? What did you forget? He said, I forgot the most important thing. I forgot to teach the next generation. And so she thought he was crazy, but the next day, he took the flight back to Connecticut, went to his son and daughter who were young and in their 20s and wanted to invite them into construction business, taught them how to build. But not only that, one of the important things that he said he wanted to do was to teach them how to give back. And so every year he'd build a Habitat home, he and his construction crew and his company, and they felt that was a special blessing to them. He taught them how to give, and he taught them how to receive the blessings that come in a special way when that happens to us. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, he said this, "Given it will be given to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now that's interesting imagery because it would have been known from the people that Jesus was speaking to that many of the workers in the field that day would go out and they'd work all day long. They'd work gleaning the field and putting grain into these baskets. Well, it was the custom of landlords who were very generous that the last basket of the day would be the one that they got to take home to their own family. And so what the people would often do, as you might know if you sort of gathered some things, was they'd not only put the grain into the basket, but they'd shake it down, right, to get all down. And then they'd press it down, they'd put more in, and they'd shake it some more until it was spilling over. And so Jesus is using this imagery of the landowner who is giving and trying to bless those who are working in the field in a way that is abundant and overflowing. And so we're inspired to give more, and we're inspired to receive more. And the final thing is that we're inspired by the way that God multiplies. I mean, think about the image for a moment of this widow that's been passed down through the years. Think how she has blessed and inspired so many people through the generations, of course, starting with Jesus and disciples, but I think even all of us, maybe our grandparents and hopefully our grandchildren as well. But I'm also reminded of the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Do you remember that story in 1 Kings chapter 17? The story goes like this, that Elijah was running from King Ahab and Jezebel, who wanted him dead because he spoke the word of the Lord to them. And Elijah had spoke the word of the Lord and said because of the people's rebellion, there'd be a drought. And so Elijah had fled out into the desert, was without food, didn't know what to do. And the voice of the Lord came to Elijah and told him that he needed to go to Zarephath. And there he'd find a widow outside the city gates collecting sticks. And he was to ask her for bread and for water. And so Elijah did as the Lord had spoken to him. He went to the city gates of Zarephath, and there indeed he found a widow who was collecting sticks, and he asked her for a drink of water, and she gave him a drink of water. And then he asked her for some bread, and she shared back with Elijah that her and her son were really quite destitute, and in fact, she was out there collecting sticks to make a fire, and she was going to use the last of her bread and the last of her oil to make some cakes and bread, and that would be their last meal. And Elijah shared to her, he said that if she would share with Elijah that throughout the entire famine, her flour would never run out and her jar of oil would never run out as well. And she took a step of faith and did exactly with that and shared with him and blessed him on behalf of the Lord. And then her flour never ran out and her oil never ran out throughout the entire drought. You know, God's favorite math is not addition. God's favorite math, I think, is multiplication, perhaps even exponential multiplication. And so in this moment, we see this. C.S. Lewis once said that the very heart of Christianity is about giving. Christ came and gave his life for us. We are to give our lives in service for God and others, and that's what love is all about, is in giving. Paul, in a scripture verse that was read just previously, talks about if we sow sparingly, then we'll reap sparingly, but if we sow bountifully, just as every farmer can tell you, then we'll reap bountifully. I want to close with this story that's a true story that I love. And the story goes of Heidi Mae Wyatt. And it was back in the late 19th century, and it was this church, and it was brimming in Philadelphia. And this little girl stood outside the Sunday school building, and she appeared to be crying a little bit. And so she looked afraid. And so the pastor went up to her and asked her what was wrong. He kind of knew what was wrong. And she said, well, the Sunday school building was so full, she was a little afraid to go in. Pastor said, that's okay, and so he took the little girl by the hand and walked her to the Sunday school class and made sure that she felt comfortable. And so for the next 2 years, six-year-old Heidi Mae Wyatt went to that Sunday school. Well, 2 years later in 1886, Heidi Mae tragically died, and the pastor was asked to do the funeral for the family. And so the pastor did the funeral for this little girl, and after the funeral, the parents came up to the pastor, Reverend Cromwell, and said, listen, next to Heidi's bed was this little bag. and it had 57 cents in it, and with it was a little note that said, to build bigger so more children can go to Sunday school. Well, the pastor was so inspired by that, he took the 57 cents, some of it was in pennies, but he changed it all into pennies, and he auctioned out those pennies, and when the auction was done, he received $250. He decided to take that $250 and change that into pennies and auction all that off, and so that began to go. They formed what was called the Heidi Mae Wyatt Mite, M-I-T-E, Society, and with that they eventually built a new church, which became Temple Baptist Church. 12 years later, after the little girl had passed away, the minister gave a sermon entitled, What 57 Cents Can Do. And he shared that not only did it build a new church with over 5,000 members, but it had also built a university where thousands of people were now going, which is Temple University in Philadelphia. He said not only that, but Temple University has sent out a couple thousand ministries to lands around the world that have shared the good news of the gospel. And not only that, it built a hospital, Temple University Hospital, where thousands of people through the years have enjoyed God's blessings through the medical care of good doctors and nurses. And he said, that's what 57 cents can do. It's amazing you and I in this moment can look at this widow and say, it's only 2 cents. But when we give what we have and we have God's blessing, then amazing things can happen. This story reminds us that all of us have something to give. And God blesses us. And so even as Heidi Mae gave only 57 cents, we know that God is blessing our gifts this morning. I love the fact that last week we challenged the youth to fill out a faith promise card, and I believe they're going to go first this morning, and it reminds us that all of us can be challenged to give, and it's not necessarily how much we give, but how we give and the hearts that we give that makes all the difference. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, we thank you for this story of the widow's mite, her strength in this small offering that was all that she had. We're reminded that you can do amazing things through your blessing and multiplication. So today, bless us as we offer our gifts and talents to you. We all have time, treasure, and talent, and as we offer them to you, we can love and serve you and love and serve our neighbors through Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, amen.